Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Rajaraja Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Dadas Maharaj ki. Join the Thai Go Premon on the. So tonight we'll continue reading from chapter 11 of Ninth Canto, the pastimes of Sri Ramachandra. In chapter 10 we've heard the beginning of the pastimes of Sri Ram, and now those pastimes will continue. So chapter 11, and tonight we'll go from verses 1 to 17.
Can I ask you one question?
TK.
What is Gauravani?
Gauravani. Vani means like the message or the instruction. Gaura means Sri Chaitanya. So it means the instructions of Sri Chaitanya. Gauravani. TK. Okay, so tonight we read text number 1. Shukadev Goswami said, thereafter the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, accepted an acharya and performed sacrifices, yajñas, with opulent paraphernalia. Thus he himself worshipped himself, for he is the Supreme Lord of all demigods.
If Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is worshipped, then everyone is worshipped. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. As pouring water on the root of a tree nourishes the trunk, branches, twigs, and leaves, and as supplying food to the stomach enables the senses and limbs of the body, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead satisfies the demigods who are part of the Supreme Personality. Performing yajñas involves worshipping the Supreme Lord. Here the Supreme Lord worships the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it is said, Bhagavan Atmanand Manam Vijay. The Lord worships himself by himself. This does not, of course, justify the Mayavad philosophy by which one thinks himself the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Jiva, the living entity, is always different from the Supreme Lord. The living entities never become one with the Lord, although Mayavad is sometimes limited to Lord's worship of himself. Lord Krishna meditated upon himself every morning as a Vyasta, and similarly, Lord Ramachandra performed yajñas to satisfy himself. But this does not mean that an ordinary living being should imitate the Lord by accepting the process of Nirnaga Upasana. Such unauthorized worship is not recommended here.
Any points of interest here? Points.
Don't really imitate our suggesting and wish on others. Rather, try to be a servant of him and understand his mind.
Yes, that's a good point. Any other points?
My body sometimes think that it's God. That's
it. Any other points?
You are the line, I am the line, both are the
line. Lord Krishna has said somewhere that follow my instructions, but don't follow my activity if it is extraordinary and you can't do it.
Any other points? So, when we worship Krishna, there's famous verses there in the Bhagavatam, that when you worship Krishna, everyone is satisfied. Simple example the Bhagavatam gives is that if you worship the root of the tree, the whole tree becomes satisfied. So this is the system. Prabhupada is explaining this in the purport, that we must worship Krishna and then everyone else becomes satisfied. In this material world, we have a lot of obligations. To the Pitri, forefathers, to the ordinary persons, to our family members, to our friends, to society, to the great sages, to the demigods. There's so many obligations which we have in society. But when you serve Krishna, automatically everyone else is satisfied, in the sense that even if you do not directly serve those people, Krishna himself becomes satisfied. And because that is the goal of life, then everything else becomes taken care of, rectified. Now, it doesn't mean that everyone else will support you. When you serve Krishna, quite often the family says, don't serve Krishna. Quite often the family says, you can do that when you get older. You don't have to do it now, you're young. My mother said this to me. But you don't have to do this now, do this when you're older. Now you just experience the world. Later, then you can concentrate on service to Krishna. So it's very common, people will think like that. So when we serve Krishna, everyone becomes satisfied. It doesn't mean they'll be happy. But it means all of our obligations are taken care of. Now, if you renounce everything, this means like on the platform of a sannyasi, or a paramahamsa, very advanced. So if you just renounce everything and even neglect your family members and your obligations in society and you just serve Krishna, everything is taken care of. There's no reaction. But generally, most of us are not on that platform. Most of us are not so advanced that we can just neglect everything. So Rupa Goswami says, do not neglect worldly responsibilities. Now, you have to be responsible in a worldly manner. No? Just like with my family, my mother and my family, I try to keep them as happy as I can. So it means I don't go to everything, I don't do everything they want, because if I do everything they want, I'll never serve Krishna. Because there's so many obligations which are there. But I do enough to keep them happy, but my main focus is to serve Krishna. So all devotees should be like that. Do whatever you need. Rupa Goswami says, be materially responsible, don't just drop everything. You can only do that if you're a sannyasi or something. But if you're a grihastha, you have obligations. But do those obligations in a way that everyone's satisfied, which is very difficult because no one's ever satisfied. But make the main focus of your life to serve Krishna. So Krishna explains, if you serve him, everything else will be taken care of. Mokshiyishyami masuchaha means all reactions you're protected from. Even if you don't do everything perfectly from a material point, you don't serve your family perfectly and you don't satisfy everyone perfectly in society, if Krishna is happy, everything becomes perfect. So, Prabhupada points out in the purport that Krishna wakes up in the morning in Dwarka, and what does he do?
Meditates
upon himself. So Krishna meditates on himself. But Prabhupada says, you can't do that. You can't get up in the morning and just meditate on yourself. Right? Chant your japa and hold a... And hold a picture, a mirror in front of you and just meditate on yourself. Because if you do that, you will not develop self-realization. You'll not become God-conscious. You'll not become Krishna-conscious. You won't realize anything. It's just material consciousness. So... Krishna in the morning, he gets up and he just meditates on himself. Then there is a Mayavadi understanding that if you like meditate on the self, or even the Paramatma, like it is said, there are three levels of God realization: Brahmatmiti, Paramatmiti, Bhagavaniti, Shabjiti. So Prabhupada explains the Paramatmavadis, or the yogis, they're meditating on the super soul within their heart, in their consciousness. Now, sometimes, Prabhupada said, they meditate on the super soul, and then when they see Paramatma, they think, that is me. Right? So that's a Mayavad conception. Right? So it becomes like they attain Brahman realization, actually. Not actual Paramatma realization. Paramatma realization means you realize God is a person. You are his servant. But sometimes they think that that is me. So that Prabhupada said we should not meditate like that. We should not think that we are God. Because many people these days, they concoct all sorts of things, especially in India. They have so many philosophies. Meditate on yourself. Just like one time, I was in Africa, this is 20 years ago, and we were collecting money to run the temple. We used to sell paintings and things to maintain. Before there was a big congregation. Brahmacharis, Brahmacharinis, we used to go and sell things to help fund the temple. So we were in Africa, and I was in the country was called Zambia, which is on the south-east of Africa, near Tanzania. So we were in Zambia, and there was no ISKCON center in Zambia. No ISKCON temple. And we stayed in Nairobi, in Kenya, and there was a nice ISKCON temple. We stayed in the temple, but Zambia, there was nothing. So we met one life member of ISKCON, and he said, oh, there's one man over there. He's a friend of mine. He has like a yoga place, some sort of. So we went there. And he said, you can stay here. So we stayed there. He was vegetarian, but he was like my body. So I was in the morning, I was chanting my japa, and they were cooking, and they said, you can come and eat with us. So I was chanting my japa, and then I said to him, is the prasadam ready? He said, yes, it is ready. I said, have you offered it? And he said, I offer it to you. And I said, no, you have to offer it to Krishna. He said, you are Krishna. I offer it to you. You are Krishna. So this is some people have this conception. If I offer to you, right, that is offering to Krishna. Or if I offer to myself, that is offering it to Krishna. Because we are all one. You are Krishna, I am Krishna, and we're all Krishna. So then some people, they have this philosophy. So Prabhupada, he's saying here, be very careful of this. Nivasesha shunyavad. Prabhupada says, give up this tendency for voidism, impersonalism. Then, when Krishna is meditating on himself in Dwarka, it says here in the Bhagavatam, Ramachandra gets up in the morning, he meditates on himself because he's God. Krishna, it says in the Krishna book, the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, in Dwarka, Krishna wakes up in the morning and Krishna meditates upon himself in Braj, in Vrindavan. Because in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it mentions that Krishna, now there's one pastime where Krishna wakes up and apparently he has a headache. So he does not get up in the morning. And then the devotees are having a conversation outside of his room. And what do the devotees say? Rukmini and Satyabhama are speaking. Rukmini says, in the middle of the night, he is laying next to me. But while he is sleeping, he is saying, Rata, Rata, Rata. O Vishake, He Lalite. And then Satyabhama says, you silly girl. He says, even when he's with me in the day, he's awake, he's standing next to me, and he starts daydreaming, and he says, Hey Radhe, Hey Lalite, Hey Vishake. Like that. So even when he's awake, he's not with me. So Krishna, when he wakes up in the morning and talking, he meditates on Vrindavan. Because that's where Krishna's heart ultimately is. And when we study the 10th canto, then that will be the teaching that we receive. That ultimately, Krishna is absorbed in Vrindavan. That is the essence of existence. So here it says that Lord Ramachandra, he performs yogya, wakes up and performs yogya. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, what is the purpose of yogya? Why does the Lord perform yogya? Because he is teaching us we must purify ourselves. What do we do when we wake up in the morning? We perform yogya. What is the best yogya? It says that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, of sacrifices I am japa. That is the greatest sacrifice, especially in this day and age. You get up in the morning and you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 108 times. 16 times on top. So this is our yogya, and this is how we purify ourselves. Yogya is meant for purification. Yogya means sacrifice. So when you chant your japa, you should be purifying your heart. If you're chanting and your heart is not becoming pure, then what chanting are you doing? Bahu jama kariya shravana kirtana. It says in the morning you can chant for lifetimes, bahu jama, but you won't get purified. So you have to chant in such a way that your heart is becoming purified. That is the point of the japa. Then it is sacrifice. Sacrifice means purification. If you're not becoming purified, then what's the point of your chanting? You can chant for lifetimes, but... Okay, so any points here?
How do you know that your heart is getting purified?
Because your material desires are decreasing.
Is that the proof?
Yeah.
Any other?
Yeah. You have to develop love for Krishna. If you're developing love for Krishna, you know. If your material desires are going down, then you know. You're getting purified. But if you just want to watch the boxing on the television, then you know your material desires are increasing.
Well, I haven't watched television for so many months.
Any other points? Text number 2. Lord Ramachandra gave the entire east to the Hota priest, the entire south to the Brahma priest, the west to the Advayu priest, and the north to the Udgata priest, the reciter of the Sama Veda. In this way he donated his kingdom. Thereafter, thinking that because the Brahmanas have no material desires, they should possess the entire world, Lord Ramachandra delivered the land between the east, west, north, and south to the Acharya. After thus giving everything in charity to the Brahmanas, Lord Ramachandra retained only his personal garments and ornaments. And similarly, the queen, Mother Sita, was left with only her nose ring and nothing else. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that Ramachandra gave everything that he possessed, but not his own clothes. But Sita Devi, she gave everything she possessed, and then she even gave her own clothes. She took off all her jewels, and she gave all her jewels in charity as well. So this is Lord Ramachandra and Sita are teaching us perfect human behavior. As a grihastha, you should offer everything to your guest. As a grihastha. If someone comes to your home, you should offer everything in your home. And you say to the devotees, they take anything you want. Have my car. Take my Honda Civic.
What a new one.
Take my new one. Take everything. So a grihastha should be like that. When a guest comes, you take whatever you like. That should be the mood. The Lord Ramachandra is doing like that. The Brahman is coming, gives everything to him. Sita Devi is so exalted, she even takes off her own jewelry and gives it and says, take it. So that should be that's how Grihastha becomes purified, by Dan. Dan means charity. If Grihastha doesn't give Dan, he doesn't get purified. If you keep all the money for yourself, you don't get purified. Grihastha ashram, you have to give. Then you become purified. So how does Brahmacharya become purified? How?
Study. Study.
Yeah. Vidya. Vidya means knowledge. Study. That's how Brahmacharya becomes purified, by study. Grihastha by dan. Vanaprastha by? Tapa. Yeah, does tapasya. And then, sannyas by? Yeah, sacham means preaching the truth. That's how they become.
When he did all this donation?
Who?
Ramachandra.
When did he do it? What do you mean?
Because if he donated the whole thing, all the directions and everything, then he didn't have any kingdom.
Means that he gave. Yeah, it doesn't mean he gave everything. It means he gave whatever land was around, like Ayodhya was there, the capital, and then the land around Ayodhya, he gave, for the Brahmanas, he gave like that.
So you were not responsible for those things?
No, because it says in the next verse they gave it all back, so.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me, Mother Sita didn't give the ring.
Nose ring.
That says nose ring.
No, she had the...
It says nose ring.
Yeah, what about the... Because she gave that to that Navik.
No, this is after. That was in the last chapter. Now she's back after the battle is finished. All the brahmanas who were engaged in the various activities of the sacrifice were very pleased with Lord Ramachandra, who was greatly affectionate and favorable to the brahmanas. Thus, with melted hearts, they returned all the property received from him and spoke as follows.
Once you have given away, donated it to the government,
yeah,
you shouldn't take it back.
No, they gave it back.
But they can keep it.
Yeah. Okay, Joe Jagannath, you can read that.
In the previous chapter, it was said that the Pachas, the citizens, strictly followed the system of Varnashram Dharma. The Brahmanas acted exactly like Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas exactly like Kshatriyas, and so on. Therefore, when Lord Ramachandra gave everything in charity to the Brahmanas being qualified, wisely considered that Brahmanas are not meant to possess property to make a profit from it. The qualifications of a Brahmana are given in Bhagavad Gita 18:42. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahmanas work. The Brahminical character offers no scope for possessing land and ruling citizens. These are the duties of a Kshatriya. Therefore, although the Brahmanas did not refuse Lord Ramachandra's gift, after accepting it, they returned it to the king. The Brahmanas were so pleased with Lord Ramachandra's affection toward them that their hearts melted. They saw that Lord Ramachandra, aside from being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was fully qualified as a Kshatriya and was exemplary in character. One of the qualifications of a Kshatriya is to be charitable. A Kshatriya or ruler levies taxes upon the citizens, not for his personal sense gratification, but to give charity in suitable cases. Dana Vishvara Bhavaha. On one hand, Kshatriyas have the propensity to rule, but on the other, they are very liberal with charity. When Maharaj Yudhisthira gave charity, he engaged Karna to take charge of distributing it. Karna was very famous as Datta Karna. The word Datta refers to one who gives charity very liberally. The kings always kept a large quantity of food grains in stock, and whenever there was any scarcity of grains, they would distribute grains in charity. A Kshatriya's duty is to give charity, and a Brahmana's duty is to accept charity, but not more than needed to maintain body and soul together. Therefore, when the Brahmanas were given so much land by Lord Ramachandra, they returned it to him and were not greedy.
What were the points?
Qualities of Brahmanas.
What is that?
Where they said the Lord Vishnu possess property to make profit?
The Brahmanas. Yeah, that should not keep too much. Otherwise you're not a Brahmana. And you're a Vaishya. Or maybe Kshatriya like that. Brahmanas won't do like that. Just like Prabhupada was traveling around India. He was staying in Mumbai in life member's house. And life member had very opulent house. And Prabhupada came from Mumbai to Mayapur. And he went to Mayapur. And then if you go into Mayapur in the front entrance, then Prabhupada's hut is there. You know Prabhupada's hut. So Prabhupada was living in that hut. One half was for Prabhupada and the other half was for his disciples. So Prabhupada, when he got there, he said, actually, this is the way a Brahmana lives. He says, this is the mode of goodness. A Brahmana is happy. A Brahmana does not feel comfortable living in an opulent mansion. And a Brahmana feels very comfortable living in a very simple environment. So Prabhupada said, this is a Brahmana. is how Brahmanas like to live. So a Brahmana, he doesn't feel happy or comfortable living in opulent situation. He likes simplicity. That's one of the qualities of the Brahmana. Any points?
The Kshatriyas used to collect the money from the taxes. But if people were needing, they used to give a charity. But nowadays, the people, I mean, the government has so much taxes. And there are so many of them, they use it for themselves.
Yeah. All the governments are corrupt in the world. All of them. I was just in Bali last week, and a devotee, they were speaking to one devotee, and told me, he said, the government's just corrupt in Bali. He said, Bali has so much money from tourism and outside money is coming in. But he said, it's still a poor country. He said, the schools are not up to standards. He said, you know, the pay that people get in Bali compared to what comes in, the money, he said, you know, it's considered a third world country still. You know? So it just means because the government is corrupt. So all over the world, the governments are corrupt. In Australia and everywhere. India's one of the best.
Best known.
Yeah, I mean, India's the acharya for most things. And corruption is like huge in India. But all over the world, everything's corrupt. Africa, it's terrible. All those places. Mexico, all those places. Any points?
The king, it looks like the king used to be so kind in olden days.
Used to be what?
They used to be so kind-hearted. Mm. They used to be tough in ruling. But then they used to be so kind-hearted.
Mm.
They need that kind of comment.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Any other points? So Prabhupada's pointing out that there's the quality of the Brahminical culture. It means detachment. So they received so much, but then what did they do? They thought, I don't need so much, and then they just gave everything back. Just like we saw Vamana Dave. When Vamana appeared as the dwarf, he was only a small dwarf, and he said, I just want 3 steps of land. So that is the way a Brahmana feels. So that is the qualification. Brahminical life means detachment. And Prabhupada said ISKCON should be a class of Brahmanas. So we should be detached as devotees. We should be the Brahmanas, like the leaders. They should see, when they see the devotees, they should see detachment. If devotees are too opulent, people will become confused. Even if you have a lot of money, you should not, you know, live opulently. Just live simply, that's nice. And if you have a lot of money, then you use that to fund ISKCON. It helps spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So devotees have to develop detachment. Then our preaching becomes powerful. Purity is the force. If we're opulent, we're just enjoying our senses, people will not become attracted. So they have to see detachment within us. So, as Mataji was saying, that the Kshatriyas have Vatsalya Bhav. So this is leadership. Leadership means Vatsalya. Means they care about the citizens and they look after the citizens. They rule for the benefit of the citizens. That's a leadership. So even though they're incredibly wealthy because they tax everyone, how much does the government tax according to the Manu Samhita? Just like if you look in Kamsa's time, when we look in the 10th canto, the beginning of the Krishna book, Kamsa, he was taxing everyone. So Vasudev, Nanda Maharaj, he goes to Mathura and he's taxed by Kamsa because the king taxes the citizens, is the ancient system. But how much is the king allowed to tax?
How much can I vote?
No, it says 25%. So he said to Nanda Maharaj, because Nanda Maharaj was the Vaishya, he had lots of grains and lots of milk, so he could make ghee. They didn't give for the sacrifices. So then how much did he say? Kamsa said, you have to give 25% of the grains and the ghee to the king. And then Prabhupada points out, they stockpile. They always have a lot of grains. The king, that's his duty. Because sometimes there's famine. You have a bad year. You know, sometimes bad year and things don't grow. or, you know, there's not enough grains coming. So then he has store, and then he distributes. There's one story, there was one king, and the king's duty is that he will feed the poor people, diseased people, you know, the invalid people, people who actually have problems. So then one king, he was spending so much money all the time, because so many people were coming. And then the minister said, actually, these guys are lazy. So the king said, okay, tomorrow they'll have lunch. And then after lunch, they will all take rest. You see, I've seen it in India. Everyone takes lunch, they eat all the chapatis, and then everyone goes and takes a rest. So they all go and take rest. So then the minister said, when everyone's taking rest, set fire to the building. And then we'll know who the actual lazy guys are. If anyone's really lazy, they'll just stay there. But anyone else, they get up, then those people will say, you cannot come here and eat for free. You have to work. So the next day they set fire to the place, right? And everyone got up and they ran out. And there was just two guys and they were laying there. And one said, my back is getting hot. And the other guy said, then just roll over. It's too hot, you just roll over. And they saw these two guys. They go, these guys are lazy. You can feed them every day. Yeah, they're actually diseased or crazy or something. We'll let, you know, feed those guys. But everyone else, they have to go and work. So the king, he will look after the crazy people, the diseased people, the old people. All those people will be protected. But anyone else, they have to be productive. So the king, he takes charity. Sorry, he takes tax from the citizens, but then he distributes it in charity to those who need it. Then, the Prabhupada points out that when someone becomes selfless, they show perfect human behavior. So what is Ramachandra showing us? He's showing us how to be a perfect human being. What is a perfect human being? He is selfless. So what do the Brahmanas show us? They got so much from Ramachandra, what did they do? They said, we don't need all this, have it back. It's completely selfless. And they were so happy with Ramachandra. Why? Because he was completely selfless. He just wanted to look after the Brahmins, make sure they're happy and satisfied. So when society becomes selfless, when we become selfless, this is what the Bhagavatam says in the very beginning. The Bhagavatam is for those who are near Matsura. Near Matsura means those who are free from envy, totally selfless. When we become selfless, we become happy and satisfied. That's what the Bhagavatam is teaching. But as long as you're always worrying about yourself, you'll never be happy. You'll never be satisfied. And Prabhupada points out the Brahminical culture is that the Varnashram culture is that the Brahmanas must always be maintained. That is the system. We have to maintain the Brahmanas so that they can preach, they can do their duty, they can do their service. And what is the service of the Brahmanas? They study, right? They teach, they perform jagya, they teach others to perform jagya, they accept charity, they give in charity. So the Brahmanas are maintained properly and looked after, then they can do their duty. What is their duty? The Brahmanas' duty is the most valuable duty in human society. They give spiritual guidance to others. Without Brahmanas, then society becomes lost.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other points?
We should go back to Godhead quick.
Yeah, we should go back quick. Solves all the problems.
Yeah.
Okay. O Lord, you are the master of the entire universe. What have you not given us? You have entered the core of our hearts and dissipated the darkness of our ignorance by your effulgence. This is the supreme gift. We do not need a material donation. Jagan Prabhu.
When Dhruva Maharaj was offered a benediction by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he replied, "Oh my Lord, I am fully satisfied. I do not need any material benediction." Similarly, when Prahlad Maharaj was offered a benediction by Lord Narasimhadev, he also refused to accept it and instead declared that a devotee should not be like a vanik, a mercantile man who gives something in exchange for some profit. One should become a devotee for some material profit is not a pure devotee. Brahmanas are always enlightened by the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart. Sarvasya Chaham Pratisannivishto Matsprathir Jnanam Abhavanancha. And because the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are always directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are not greedy for material wealth. What is absolutely necessary, they possess, but they do not want an expanded kingdom. An example of this was given by Vamanadev. Acting as a brahmachari, Lord Vamanadev wanted only three pieces of land. Aspiring to possess more and more for personal self-gratification is simply ignorant. And this ignorance is conspicuous by its absence from the heart of a Brahmana or a Vaishnava.
Okay, so what are the points here? Anything else?
It is the ignorance, avidya, which makes us collect more and more.
How many saris do you need?
Me?
I'm just saying in general, how many saris?
About 6 or 7.
Any other points? So, the Bhagavatam Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, we should become pure devotees of Krishna. We should not become materialistic devotees. That is not the goal of the Bhagavatam. We've already said the Bhagavatam is teaching us to become nirmatsara. Nirmatsara means without material qualities, without envy, without material consciousness. We shouldn't be materialistic devotees. Of course, we are materialistic devotees because we don't just think of Krishna. We have so many material desires that we're trying to fulfill simultaneously. But actually, the Bhagavatam is not teaching that. The Bhagavatam is teaching Amala Bhakti, or pure Bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti, Kevala Bhakti, which means pure devotional service, Uttama Bhakti. Uttama Bhakti means devotional service which is pure, unmotivated by other things. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kamadinapita anukuryena krishnanu shilana bhakti uttama. Uttama bhakti means it must not be motivated by other things. Our bhakti is motivated by other things. So that is not pure. But that's not what the Bhagavatam is teaching. We have to come to a higher stage. So Prabhupada is saying that if you're an enlightened personality, if you have some realization, then you will lessen or you will decrease your material possessions and circumstances. One who is unenlightened, then he wants to possess more and more and more. But a devotee actually goes the other way. And we can see, are we becoming advanced? Why are we decreasing our material attachments and even our material possessions? I know Indrajumna Swami, because he's a sannyasi, he's renounced, very renounced. Periodically, reduces his, he doesn't have much anyway. Practically, he does one bag, that's everything that he owns, but periodically he'll make it like a smaller bag and a smaller bag and a smaller bag. Gets a smaller computer, get a big computer, now they can have smaller ones and smaller ones. He just tries to decrease things. That should be the mood of a devotee, not increasing. Of course, when you're young and you get married, then everything increases. Or you have kids and everything increases, but then after some time, it should all come back again. And the later part of life should not be about increasing. Sometimes the non-devotees, they just keep increasing, even at the end of the life. They just want more and more. That's not the consciousness of the devotee. And then Prabhupada says that ultimately, when one has Krishna, he has everything. So why does the devotee feel satisfied? He doesn't need material possessions because he has Krishna, he's happy. If you have Krishna and if you're happy, then you don't need extra. But because we are lacking in our relationship with Krishna, we're looking for so many anartas or material things to satisfy us. If we're looking for material things to satisfy us, that just means that we're empty in terms of our relationship with Krishna. Because if you have a relationship with Krishna, you won't need all these material things to satisfy. Any points?
But the way I see this sentence, one who becomes a devotee for some material benefit is not a pure devotee. I mean, a devotee, why would, what material benefit can get to become a devotee?
Fame. Yeah, fame.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, fame, profit, distinction, those things are there. And it says that one can, when one becomes more as advanced as a devotee, then he gets offered material facility. And sometimes he can become absorbed in trying to enjoy the material facility as opposed to serving Krishna. Any other points? O Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have accepted the Brahmanas as your worshipable deity. Your knowledge and memory are never disturbed by anxiety. You are the chief of all famous persons within this world, and your lotus feet are worshipped by sages who are beyond the jurisdiction of punishment. O Lord Ramachandra, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Shukadeva Goswami continued, once while Lord Ramachandra was walking at night incognito, hiding himself by a disguise to find out the people's opinion of himself, he heard a man speaking unfavorably about his wife, Sita Devi. So this was the system. Sometimes the king, in order to understand what the citizens were actually saying, then he would wander around at night time dressed as in disguise. And then Ramachandra, he heard someone speaking about Sita Devi and himself. And then he understood he's losing the respect of the citizens. Actually, there wasn't any disrespect because the person was some low-class person. But he was so concerned. And this is what leadership means. To be a leader means we have to be concerned with our reputation. If you don't have a reputation, just like Kanambakanan Swami was saying, Maharaj mentioned that if you lose your reputation, you lose everything. Particularly in as a devotee, right? If you lose your reputation as a devotee, then that's it. No one listens to you. How can you speak? How can you preach? So reputation is everything for a devotee. Because if you have good reputation, then people will come. And, oh, this person is pure. Especially when you become a leader or a more advanced devotee or like a leader. Especially like the sannyasis, that's the most... pressure-filled situation for a devotee. As Lord Chaitanya says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if on a white piece of cloth there is one black mark, everyone looks at the black mark, they say, look, there's a mark on the cloth. So Lord Chaitanya says, similarly, for a sannyasi, if there's even a small fault, everyone will say, just look. Maharaj did like that. Actually, Maharaj is very advanced, he does so much good, but one little thing, and just look. Maharaj had two rascals. Maharaj had two rascals. If he's sense controlled, he'd only have one. Devotees say like that. Like Lord Chaitanya himself was
criticized
by Ramchandra Puri. Mm-hmm. Ramchandra Puri said he was serving Lord Chaitanya and he kept giving him sweets. So Lord Chaitanya reciprocated, so he ate more sweets. And then Lord Ramachandra said, Ramachandra Puri said, look, he can't control his senses. So then Lord Chaitanya said, okay, tomorrow that's it. So tomorrow I just have sabji and rice. And I'll eat half as much. So a devotee, you have to keep your reputation. We're not advanced devotees, we're not sannyasis or advanced devotees, but we have to keep our reputation. Otherwise everyone, no one will listen to us. So reputation is everything for a devotee. So, any points?
My mother used to say,
wealth is lost, nothing is lost. Health is lost, something is lost. But character is lost, everything is lost.
Your mother said that? Where is she from?
She's from Surat.
Gujarat. You're Gujarati.
But she was English teacher.
Yeah, I heard that in Vrindavan as well. One sadhu told me that one time as well. Yeah, it's a famous saying. Any other points?
You know how you said that they should not live confidently, but just reminds me of this story about Galadhar Pandit when he saw his Guru Maharaj, he was living very confidently, but then he got a bit bewildered. But then he realized.
Yeah.
So some people can be.
Yeah, some people can. But generally devotees should be middle class. Because, especially here preaching in the West, if you want to attract people to our movement, if we're too poor, no one will join.
Mm.
Right? They walk into your house and you don't have any furniture. You know, you walk into a grihastha's house and it's like a brahmachari ashram, no furniture and just, you know, everyone just sits on the floor and like that. Then you bring some Western people to your house to preach. They say, I can't live like this. I can't live. This is not. And then the other way, then if you have too much opulence, they walk in your house and they say, oh, you know, and then you talk about, you give a whole lecture about renunciation. And they say, well, what about you? So devotees should be middle class. Not too opulent, not too, especially as grihasthas. Brahmacharis, they should be austere, but the grihasthas should be medium. Any points? Yeah. Yeah. Pundarit Vijanini is Vrishabhanu Maharaj. He was absorbed in prema. We told that story, it says in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that he used to sit, he was traveling. They're riding on elephants and traveling and, you know, very opulent. And then they would set up a pandal, big tent. And he was inside the tent, there were beautiful carpets and big soft sofas like couches. And he was sitting there. And it says they had mirrors hanging from the roof and the mirrors were next to his face. And he was chewing pan and he would look at himself in the mirror and just look at himself. So opulent, like, and if you walked in there, you think, oh, this guy's just a sense enjoyer, Vishayi. So Gadadhar Pandit saw him, he thought, no, he's not devotee, and he left. But then, Mukunda, I think it was, he said, no, you come, I'll show you.
No, he didn't leave, he was still there.
No, but he left one time, and then he came back again. And then when he came back in, and then they chanted one verse from the Bhagavatam, when he heard the verse, he fell off the couch, and he started rolling on the ground. Right, uncontrollably, he's saying, Krishna, Krishna, all that stuff. Then Gadadhar saw, he's a pure devotee. So this is like some leela, some pastimes. But it doesn't mean that you can get mirrors in the brahmachari ashram. Yeah. Start chewing your pan and all this. But he is like some leela, he's like some... Anything else?
Point from the scripture was induced poverty, even if we have more abilities. So induced poverty is most important. So that's how the motivation. So he is always maintained in the rituals. He can use the luxury.
Yeah. Yeah, we should not be so poor, but we should not be so rich as well, just medium. Even sometimes you get more money. That doesn't mean suddenly you increase your material facility and like that. Yeah, sometimes you get more money, but then you use it, you save it for when it's an emergency, or you use it for Krishna service or like that. don't just, you know, increase everything. Speaking to his unchaste wife, the man said, "You go to another man's house, and therefore you are unchaste and polluted. I shall not maintain you anymore. A henpecked husband like Lord Ram may accept a wife like Sita, who went to another man's house, but I am not henpecked like him, and therefore I shall not accept you again." Sukadev Goswami said, "Men with a poor fund of knowledge and a heinous character speak nonsensically. Fearing such rascals, Lord Ramachandra abandoned his wife, Sita Devi, although she was pregnant. Thus Sita Devi went to the ashram of Valmiki Muni." When the time came, the pregnant mother Sita Devi gave birth to twin sons, later celebrated as Love and Kush. The ritualistic ceremonies for their birth were performed by Valmiki Muni. O Maharaj Parikshit, Lord Lakshmana had two sons named Angada and Chitraketu. And Lord Bharat also had two sons named Taksha and Pushkara. Shatrughna had two sons named Subahu and Shutasena. When Lord Bharat went to conquer all directions, he had to kill many millions of Gandhavas, who are generally pretenders. Taking all their wealth, he offered it to Lord Ramachandra. Shatrughna also killed a Rakshasa named Lavana, who was the son of Madhu Rakshasa. Then he established the great forest known as Madhuvan, the town known as Mathura. Being forsaken by her husband, Sita Devi entrusted her two sons to the care of Valmiki Muni. Then, meditating upon the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra, she entered into the earth. So, Mahatma Prabhu, can you read that?
It was impossible for Sita Devi to live in separation from Lord Ramachandra. Therefore, after entrusting her two sons to the care of Valmiki Muni, she entered into the earth.
What are the points here? Yeah, one of the most chaste ladies in the Vedic scriptures in the Bhagavad Gita. Sita, she shows how to be a perfect wife. The wife feels so much separation from the husband, she cannot bear to live without the husband. She will enter into the fire or into the earth. You won't find that in Kali Yuga, because we're not so advanced. But the wife used to feel like that. So much separation. She would enter fire that was less painful. So Sita Devi is showing us how to be a perfect wife. Ram is showing us how to be a perfect husband. Ramayana means to show us how to be perfect human beings. Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka, they are perfect. In Vrindavan, Krishna is in a different mood. So therefore his pastimes sometimes from a mundane perception or perspective, we may question Krishna's actions. But in the Ramayana, you cannot question Ram's actions because he's perfect and Sita is perfect. Any points?
After hearing the news of Mother Sita's entering the earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was certainly aggrieved. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, upon remembering the exalted qualities of Mother Sita, he could not check his grief in transcendental love. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu.
Lord Ramachandra's grief at the news of Sita Devi's entering the earth is not to be considered material. In the spiritual world also, there are feelings of separation. But such feelings are considered spiritual bliss. Grief in separation exists even in the absolute. But such feelings of separation in the spiritual world are transcendentally blissful. Such feelings are a sign of Tasya Prema, Vasya, Svabhava. Being under the influence of Ladini Shakti and being controlled by love. In the material world, such feelings of separation are only a perverted reflection.
So any points? What are you talking about?
Separation from relatives.
Give an example.
Say, like, wife is
It's natural. As you become more advanced, it depends what you're feeling separation from. Like, the husband might be feeling separation from the wife, or the wife's feeling separation from the husband. But when you become purer and advanced, you see them as Vaishnavas and Vaishnavi. So you're missing their association. But because we're less advanced, we see them on the material platform. The relationship is based on lust. So then you're feeling some separation based on some material sentiment. So that has to be purified in due course of time. So, any other point?
There was a lady I know, and after her husband died, she got so sad and depressed and everything. And after 3-4 years, she got married again. So,
what's the point?
The point is, as you say, it was not ideal. Sad, I think she was just.
Anything else? So, and it's said here that Prabhupada has explained to us that when the separation is in relation to Krishna, then that is absolute. And that is purifying. And then Ramananda Roy says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Chaitanya asks, what is the greatest pain, what is the greatest suffering? He says, only to be separated from a devotee. When you're separated from the devotee, you feel suffering, you feel pain. So he said that is bona fide, that is for our purification. So when we become separated from Krishna, or things related to Krishna, like his devotees, that is spiritually purifying, that is blissful. That brings us closer to Krishna. But when you become attached to something materially, then that leads you away from Krishna. So Mahamaya takes you away from Krishna, Yogamaya brings you to Krishna. The spiritual energy, Daivi Prakriti. Mahatmanas to Mam Partha. Daivi Prakriti Mashrita. Krishna says in the Gita, the Mahatma is one who takes shelter of the internal energy, the Daivi Prakriti. A materialist takes shelter of Mahamaya. That leads you away from Krishna. So Prabhupada is pointing out that it's the nature of a person to have feelings. Prabhupada said, we are not stones. Like Jadbharat, Jada. Jada means stone. Stone has no feeling. But we are people. We have feelings. But we have to make those feelings for Krishna. Madhvacharya says, since you came to the material world, you have cried so many tears, you could fill an ocean. But have you ever cried one tear for Krishna? Since you came to the material world, do you ever cry for Krishna? But we cry for material tears so much. But do we ever cry for Krishna? So that is the test. That's how advanced we are. If we're crying for Krishna, then we're advanced. If we're crying for material things, then we're not advanced. So the nature of the living entity, you're not a stone. Feelings are there. So the feelings must be for Krishna and Krishna's devotees.
The feeling of separation towards the devotee can understand because we are with devotees and we feel separation and they want that. But how can we understand feeling separation from Krishna, because in this life we have never experienced being with Krishna. So there is, if you're not with someone, how can you feel separation from that person? So how can we develop that separation for Krishna?
Yeah, but in the 10th canto, then the example is that Rukmini, she never met him, but she heard about him from Narada, and just by hearing about him, she developed Bhava Prem, those feelings. So the Bhagavatam explains to us that we don't meet him directly, but just by hearing about him, you can develop love for him. And actually that is the whole process of the Bhagavatam. The whole it's hearing about him. And it actually says, it's coming from the Bhagavatam ultimately, but Rupa Goswami explains, by hearing about him and seeing the deity, then you develop love for him. So when you hear about him, you hear all these wonderful pastimes and qualities, nama, rupa, guna, lila, and then you see the deity, then feelings will come. And Rupa Goswami says that when you go before the deity, tears should come to the eyes. And when you chant the holy name, Bhagavatam says that when you chant, tears should come to the eyes. Otherwise, it says your heart is steel framed. So it is not necessary to meet him directly to develop love for him. Even like some in the material world, sometimes someone we never met, but you just hear, like Radhana Swami, for example, someone. Then you hear about Radhana Swami, oh, I mean, just here and here and here, and then you just, I want to meet, like that. And then finally you see, and then like that. Make sense? Any other points?
There's also deity worship. Basically, so if you start to develop a lot, then you start to deity worship with God, try to create attachment towards not only the deity itself, but obviously the form of the deity. I didn't get into deity.
He's saying that by deity worship, Srimurti Shraddhaya Sevan, by serving the deity, these feelings for Krishna come. So you have to do deity worships. Any other points?
All these problems that anxiety, worries, and frustration that we have in this world, they are still in the spiritual world, but they are of different nature. Like Prabhu was saying, when the Radharani is cooking for Krishna, she put like 50 stoves in one row. And she was in so much anxiety, like how I cook and how, even though they have a lot of trees and cows through which she can ask everything and she can get, but still also she'll do all the things and have anxiety. But that is for Krishna, so it's different. It's only gives them the place.
Yeah, and then she cooks and they take it downstairs and they serve Krishna, and she's looking through the lattice work. You know what you see in Rajasthan, or you see the lattice, you know what I'm talking about? Like on the windows, it's got like the holes in it, you know. So she's looking like that. And then Krishna, Radharani cooks, they take it down, they serve it to Krishna. And Krishna, if he looks, and he looks up to make sure Radharani's looking. And he tastes it, and he goes, right. And Radharani's in total anxiety. She thinks, oh my God, what did I do? Like that. And then Krishna, he gives it to Sri Dharma. He's sitting next to Krishna, Radharani's brother. And then he takes it, and he puts his mouth in. So nice. So she's always in anxiety. Spiritual world means anxiety must be there.
I think it's in Bhakti Ratnakara.
What is it?
This story is in Bhakti Ratnakara.
Hmm.
Beautiful.
Okay, one more verse. Okay. Do we read 16?
Yes.
I read 16. We're on 17 now. I read 16?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to stop there because 17 is a good verse. So I'll read 17 next week because it's a nice verse. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.